The first reading is taken from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer from your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading comes from Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. And that is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I'm going to talk about prayer. But for the most part, I'm going to do it in a very indirect, roundabout sort of way. You see, although both our Bible readings today present prayer as something important, it wasn't prayer that grabbed my attention. What did grab my attention were three almost incidental comments. And as I thought about these comments, I wondered if they could have some bearing on our reflections today about where we, as Holy Trinity with St. John's, are going. First of all, look at Nehemiah 1, verse 3. Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When we read on, we see this as distressing news for Nehemiah, and presumably more so for the people of Jerusalem who are actually living there. For they are described as being in great trouble and disgrace. But why? Isn't this a bit of an extreme reaction? Of course not. The people had been rebuilding Jerusalem, but now the work had been forcibly stopped and everything rebuilt, demolished. The people were in great trouble and disgrace, because as a community, they had moved from one place to another, but hadn't yet found a home. Do you remember the short video introducing Nehemiah from last week? The video said that Jerusalem's wall kept the people safe. So presumably without the wall, the people weren't safe. Or at the very least, they didn't feel safe. And a sense of safety is paramount if a place is to be a home. And so, on the basis of Nehemiah 1:3, and as we reflect today on the vision process for Holy Trinity with St. John's, we need to continue asking difficult questions. Questions such as, does everybody actually feel at home at Holy Trinity with St. John's? Is there anyone here in great trouble and disgrace because the wall keeping them safe is broken down? And how will we know? What can we do to move into the future God has for us together without, at the same time, sweeping away the past? And how should we be building on the foundations of our legacy congregations in ways that are safe for everyone? You might disagree with me here, but unless we grapple honestly and deeply and at length with these sorts of questions, I doubt our worship spaces, and I'm deliberately using the plural here, unless we grapple with these sorts of questions, I doubt our worship spaces will be home for everyone. And yet, the building work must continue. Not unlike Jerusalem in Nehemiah's days, Holy Trinity with St. John's is a construction project that must be completed. We can't stay where we are. Otherwise, everything we've done so far, whether good or bad, praiseworthy or lamentable, will be in vain. Nehemiah was only too aware that the people in Jerusalem needed inspiration, space, and resources to transform debris and rubble into a home for God's people. Three things that would only come about through God's help and guidance. And so, Nehemiah prays. This brings me to the second almost incidental comment that grabbed my attention in today's Bible readings. Look at verse 6. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Let me say some of that again. I confess the sins we Israelites. Is this significant somehow? Throughout the Bible, there is a constant to-ing and fro-ing, even perhaps a tension between individual and corporate responsibility. How far am I, as a particular person with particular needs and desires, some good, some not so good, how far am I responsible for the whole community, for its actions, for its life? And what duty of care does the community, with all its ambitions and goals, have for me as a particular person? These questions are not easy to answer, but they are good questions to ask, especially about the ways in which our community here at Holy Trinity with St. John's is coming together. Nehemiah was very much aware of his place within the community, of his belonging to the people of God, despite being many, 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 many miles away from Jerusalem itself. And so he prays for its good and for the good of its people. Nehemiah, as a particular person, is taking responsibility for his community as part of that community, as best he can, in possibly the only practical way open to him at that time, praying to God for guidance and help. And so, on the basis of Nehemiah 1:6, and as we reflect on our vision process, I ask us to consider, where am I, as a particular person with my own particular needs and desires, where am I helping the ongoing community building process? And where am I hindering it? When I pray about the vision process for Holy Trinity with St. John's, do I ask God, unwittingly or otherwise, to guide things in ways that benefit my needs and desires, rather than the church's needs and desires as a whole. What is my responsibility as a particular person to the whole worshipping community, that is Holy Trinity with St. John's? And not unimportant, what do I need as a particular person from Holy Trinity with St. John's to feel safe and at home? Let me turn now to the third and final almost incidental comment that grabbed my attention in today's Bible readings. This one's from Mark 1:38. Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages." Let me be clear. In highlighting this comment, I am not, emphatically not, saying we should leave Holy Trinity with St. John's if we don't like what's been happening or where we're going. What I am saying is this: we do not exist for ourselves. However much attending church or being church is important for us, however much we put of ourselves into what goes on, however much we find church a source of strength or comfort, we must remember church, and that includes Holy Trinity with St. John's. Church is not a members-only club. It's not a special interest group. It's not just something we do or where we go. The church is the body of Christ. And, forgive me here for going all Anglican on this, Holy Trinity with St. John's is the Anglican expression of the body of Christ in and for this particular part of London. So in short, we are, Holy Trinity with St. John's is, a Holy Spirit-formed community of people following Christ together, despite our varying needs and desires. And God is calling us to show the world around us, including our family, our friends and colleagues, the life of the age to come God has planned in Christ from the very beginning of time itself. The good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, was raised to life for our salvation, and is coming back for the world he loves. We cannot keep this good news to ourselves here within these four walls, but we must go out to the nearby villages where we spend our days, whether that's at home, whether that's at work, at school, in the pub, wherever. We here at Holy Trinity with St. John's have a lot of things to reflect on, to debate, to work out, and much of this has been and will be painful and difficult. But on the basis of Mark 1:38, and as we reflect on our vision process, let's be honest, really honest about where we're at, honest about what we have been doing well, honest about where there are gaps in our experience in church life. But let's do so knowing that God has a home, a secure home for each and every one of us, and a secure home for the whole world, a secure home ultimately found nowhere but in our risen Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather together each Sunday to worship. Amen.